Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
So it's also a record book thing that this is the only podcast ever to have a black man list more than three Grateful Dead albums. Like in a row. I've definitely never heard that before. Wouldn't have expected it. But.
That was impressive, man. Actually, you started just rattling it off, and I was like, all right, cool, man. Respect.
I love it, man. I love the Dead. I love Jerry Garcia. I even love that. What's the Touch of Grey? The late album that they put out is really, really good. They're a great band.
Welcome to Tea Time with T-Kid. I'm T-Kid. This week on the show, my guest is Wilbert L. Cooper, senior editor at Vice, and my co-host on Vice Does America, a new show on Viceland that follows an RV road trip that we took across America along with our friend Martina. We saw a lot of wild places and hung with some crazy, awesome Americans, and indeed, we passed through Colorado, where we dabbed and blazed a ton. And Will and I are going to talk about that today. And my buddy Pinsky is going to stop by with some nice concentrates and we'll pull some dabs. We're going to use a beautiful Sunday cup rig from the homies at Smoke Cartel. Thanks for that, guys. It'll be fun. And you can see Vice Does America Wednesdays at 10 p.m. on Viceland. And next week's episode is going to be all about weed in Colorado. Now let's get into our interview, starting off with a little discussion about Wilbert's long and strange career at Vice. So, Wilbert, you are a host at Vice, a producer at Vice, a senior editor at Vice. You pretty much own fucking Vice, right? When it comes down to it. You've kind of been holding it down for the black voice at Vice for several years. How does that feel?
I mean, it's weird, man. Like, you know, I came to Vice to do weird, offbeat stuff. You know, I loved punk rock, and Vice used to have Black Lips on their record label. And that was kind of how I discovered them in college, and... you know, I wanted to be at Vice because it was a unique place where I could do whatever I want to do and sort of have a voice and not necessarily focus on race and color. So when I first started doing stuff for Vice, a lot of it was like sex stuff. Like, I think one of the first stories I did was on circumcision, like circumcision activists. And like, I did a weird story about people sitting on people's faces, like a lot of like old school, weird Vice stuff. But, you know, kind of what happens when you live in America is that, you know, even if you're not focused on race or thinking about race, if you're a person of color, you have to deal with those issues at some point. And what really started to make me start writing about race and kind of looking at stuff from that perspective was the Trayvon Martin case. That shooting really got me to kind of come out and say, okay, I'm going to start inserting my voice and talking about politics in a real way and start using my reporting for less sex stuff and more political stuff. And then, of course, after Trayvon Martin happened, you know, it was like so many of these cases started to pop off. I mean, they've been happening before, but they never got the kind of attention that they got when Trayvon Martin happened. And so we saw Eric Garner, Freddie Gray, you know, all these different stories. And I think that's when my writing really shifted. And I think you could see my writing and my stuff for Vice kind of go in the same trajectory as like Black Lives Matter movement or whatever. Like I'm following that sort of activization and like interest in politics and stuff as I think a lot of other young people were following it who graduated around the time we did from school. So it was a natural thing. And I came to Vice to do weird shit and I ended up doing more race related stuff, but I'm happy about it. It's cool.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's an interesting thing, what you're saying about
almost in an inadvertent way, being forced into covering your own heritage. Like, I feel that way as a Muslim journalist or just as an artist, like as a musician. I never wanted to make stuff that was, you know, based on my heritage or based on my being Pakistani or Muslim. But over time, as I grew older, I realized that it's actually one of the only advantages I have is to take advantage of the fact that, you know, I'm a minority or that, you know, I'm in like a very discriminated minority. Mm-hmm. And it started to shape my work, you know. Do you think that if you weren't Black, like you would, what would you be covering right now?
If I wasn't Black, I mean, I hope I would be covering some of the same stuff because it needs to be covered. But then again, I think that the problem with a lot of the media is we got a lot, like one of the reasons why we have to tell these stories is because if we don't tell them, then white people will tell them, you know?
So tell it's them
like,
wrong.
Yeah, like if you don't tell the story of Muslims in America and their experience, like white people will tell them and they won't tell them the right way, you know? And as a young Black man, I could see myself in Trayvon Martin. I could see myself in him. And so when he was shot, I was like, it didn't make sense for Rocco or Harry to cover it because they weren't Trayvon. I was Trayvon, you know? So I had to write about that stuff.
All right, so to shift gears for just a sec, because of the nature of this show, let's talk about drugs. Let's talk about getting fucked up, all right? And, you know, you've had an interesting experience with that. So, you know, I've been on camera smoking weed since the beginning of my on-camera career. That's, like, kind of my thing. I've gotten very, very stoned on camera before, but I've never gotten too stoned. I've never gotten to a point where I feel like it's affecting my behavior in a way I can't control. And you had a really well-known instance, you know, that's documented on the internet where you hung out with, who was it?
I was with Gucci and Waka, and I drank a bottle of Hennessy and blacked out and ended up in the hospital.
You got your own shit?
We got a new strand. We got a new strand. Gas.
What's your new strand like? Like, how's it get you?
You want to say it?
Hell yeah.
No, but 20 park. You tell me.
That shit costs $100 a pull. Come on, Cam.
$200, bro.
I got to pay you?
$200.
Oh, I'm broke, man.
I don't know though. I said
it. It's funny because the first time I ever was ever on camera for Vice was with Snoop Dogg, and I smoked weed with Snoop Dogg, and I remember smoking weed with him and being very adamant about not like hitting the blunt too hard, you know what I'm saying, and being cool. And he complimented me on it. He was like, wow, he's like, this is one of the first times I smoked with a host, and they didn't like take it too far because they knew that they couldn't hit it. And I felt really good about that. But later on down the line, by the time I had smoked and kicked it with Gucci, I had been interviewing so many rappers and hanging with rappers that I think I felt like I could hang, you know what I'm saying? I felt like I could run with them. Like I was a lot more cocky. And I mean, that's what got me messed up.
So we had an experience together in Denver, Colorado, and you seemed to kind of rediscover a love for pot on that trip. Do you feel like you found new meaning in it?
Yeah, definitely, man. I mean, I think when I was smoking in my younger days, I was for a different purpose. You know, I think when you're young, you kind of just want to get fucked up. You just want to, like, you know, just, I don't know. It's a mixture of trying to experiment as much as you can and just change the state of your mind, but not for any purpose. You know what I'm saying? But I think when I was smoking on the journey across the country that we had, I was smoking to relax, to particularly open my mind to specific things, to think about stuff. It was a very, like, intellectual-oriented smoking. You know what I mean? And I would smoke with you a lot of times before we go to bed at night, and I would sit up and write thoughts and kind of think about the trip. And I think it definitely opened my mind to be able to articulate a lot of what was going on and see shit in a different way, because we were seeing things, so many things that we were seeing, we were seeing them for the first time ever. So it was cool to be able to have that, like, third eye open to see it from a unique perspective. So
you might notice that sitting in front of me, I have this really elaborate looking dabber. Can you describe what this thing is?
Man, what is this thing? It's like a inverted cone. It's got like a weird spirally thing going on around it, and it's very it's glass. It's very, very, very fancy glass. Very,
now,
very pristine looking.
I indeed
can kind of see through it.
Yeah.
It makes weird shapes.
And what do you suppose we do with one of these things?
I think we use it to smoke of the pot.
Yes, we do. And specifically, we use it to do dabs, right?
Oh, this is for dabs. Okay.
This is for dabs. And
oh,
you've
wow.
done some dabs.
Yeah.
I did some dabs with you.
Yeah, yeah.
In every episode of Tea Time, I have a second guest stop by. Will, this is my good friend Penske.
Hey.
Penske, this is Will Cooper, and this is Mark. So you saw the trailer for Vice Does America, right? You recognize this guy from that? So yeah, so we had an adventure across the country together. And actually on that trip, Will, in Denver, Will did his first dab.
Oh, nice.
Ever.
It was intense, man. It was definitely probably the highest I've ever been before. And just, you know, it hit me really hard. But once I was able to catch up to it and kind of catch the vibe, it was cool. It was comfortable.
So who administered the dab?
Who? Was it your boy Kayvon?
Yeah, Kayvon Khalidbar. You know him?
I you know.
Denver Relief.
Oh, yeah, yeah, of course. So very often when people take their first dabs or they have their first dab experience, you know, especially if you're heating it up with gas, with a blowtorch, you know, my first dabs, I was like, oh, my God, I'm like as high as I've been in high school. This
right.
is the greatest thing. And the reason is because the temperature that you consume the oil at has a lot to do with the effect and the impact that it has on you. So basically what we try to do is we try to do low temperature dabs, okay? Mm-hmm. Because low temperature is going to, you know, it's just think about it. It's oil, right? So if you're cooking and you take oil and you put it into a frying pan, you're not going to have that pan so hot that when you put the oil in, it's going to, you know, it'll
right.
burn, it'll vaporize, it'll disappear. We have a term, right? It's low temps, high terps, right? So the terps are the terpenes, and those are the compounds, the components of the cannabis oil that maintain the flavor and fragrance. And all the, when you smell really good weed, those are terpenes, right? Same way that when you smell an orange and it smells like an orange or a pine tree, right? Terpenes exist in all sorts of flora. So,
shall we dance?
Yeah,
then?
Yeah. So,
this is crazy.
So, I opened up one of the jars that you brought with you, and in it is one of my absolute favorite strains, Chem Dog 91. Can you tell Wilbur a little bit about that? Wilbur, how does it smell to you? First
it smells
of?
Good.
Dude, perfect example of the yeah. of the relationship between music and cannabis.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, the Dead would go on tour, and what would happen is a lot of the ways that genetics used to spread across the country. Right, was through people who would like start out on Dead Tour in California and bring a pound of weed on tour and sell it in the lot. And back then, you know, there were bag seeds basically. So guys would buy weed and they would have seeds in it and they would plant those seeds. And then, boom, you have a tree that was originated in Cali that's now being grown in Massachusetts. So
right.
the story of the Chem Dog is actually we just celebrated literally its 25th anniversary on June 6th and 7th. Of this year, June 6th and 7th, 1991, 25 years ago, which is why the Chem is this one is called the Chem 91, right? It's because it's came from 1991, happened at Deer Creek Amphitheater, Grateful Dead shows. At those Deer Creek shows, there was some guys in Colorado that sold some weed to a guy from Massachusetts. And he had it was a $500 ounce. It was the best weed that this kid from Massachusetts had ever seen. And they kept in touch. And after summer tour, he sent $1,000 out to Colorado and got 2 ounces of weed sent out back to Massachusetts. It was in those 2 ounces that the legendary Chem Dog seeds came from.
Then I revealed something to Penske that I never had before, and I was kind of worried it might cause some tension.
Shortly after they exchanged cuts. Now in both places, you had Chem Dog and Super Skunk in Massachusetts, which is now, you refer to it as the Mass Super Skunk, you know?
See, the thing I don't get, and this is a subjective thing, right? But I love weed and I love psychedelics and, you know, I have a lot of hippie buddies. And I don't know how I can have such a kinship with these people and hate fish so much.
Oh, man.
It's just so much. Like, I just can't stand the music, right? And that's like, I grew up listening to grunge music and then rap music right. and electronic music. Those are like the three things in my life, right? And Penske has been on the road with every jam band in the world.
I worked for Fish, dude. You better watch your language
yeah,
right
yeah.
now, bro.
Well, no, I'm just keeping it real.
Those are my
yeah.
boys,
yeah.
you know what I mean?
Like, yeah, but like, I'm sure they're nice guys. But, you know, like musically, I just, I can't get with it because it has this like, You know, like, I mean, and if you were to, if you had to describe, first of all, we should get really stoned.
Yeah,
for
yeah, we're doing it. We're doing
but
it.
Like,
I'm gonna start to.
But if you could describe why Fish's music is good or why it goes good with being stoned, like to someone who's never heard him before or someone like me who just doesn't like Fish, what would you say?
I think the difference is, you know, these the whole reason that the word jam bands exist is because these bands jam. You know, they're no two nights are the same. You go see a Fish show and it's never going to be the same. The set lists are always going to be different. You know, a song you may have heard on the album that's 4 minutes could be like 30 minutes.
I mean, even their studio albums are really, really good. Like Working Man's Dead is good. American Beauty is good. 1972 Europe live album is really good. Like Grateful Dead is good. They're good and they have good lyrics and good musicianship. Fish is interesting. I appreciate their talent as musicians, but it's not they're not the Dead.
So it's also a record book thing that this is the only podcast ever to have a black man list more than 3 Grateful Dead albums. Like in a row. I've definitely never heard that before. Wouldn't have expected it. But.
That was impressive, man. Actually, you started like, you know, like just rattling it off, and I was like, all right, cool, man. Respect.
I love it, man. I love the Dead.
Back to more dabs and one of my favorite strains, Sour Diesel.
The next one that you have is AJ's Sour Diesel, and we refer to it as AJ's only because AJ's one of the guys that was able to maintain the genetics over a long period of time and was one of the original growers.
I think one of the things interesting from being outside of it is I get a little confused with the different names and, the, you know, like, I remember, what was it we were talking about? The Gorilla Glue?
Gorilla Glue,
you know?
Gorilla Glue number 4.
Yeah, because different people make them. I was wondering, like, from someone who's inside the industry, like, how do you think that'll transition as this becomes more streamlined, all these different names? And do you think customers and people will be as familiar and know what a Chem Dog is and know what a Gorilla Glue is? And are those connected to specific companies, or do you get a Gorilla Glue from anyone?
Well, it depends who's got the cut, you know? So, like, you know, the cool thing about weed is that you can, you know, if you find a mother plant, you could take a cutting, you put a root hormone on it, you could plant it, and it's actually that exact, you know, clone of that cut. So, you know, the authenticity is sometimes questioned, right? People think they have sour, for example, but like, well, where'd you get it from? Who'd you get it from? So really being able to trace it back to the guys that, you know, were there back in the beginning, and really being able to trace back the lineage is important because they're, you know, with many different popular varieties of cannabis, often imitated, rarely duplicated.
So it's like a Chem Dog or a Gorilla Glue or a Sour Diesel. Are those names pretty much like a whiskey or a bourbon?
Just like any production of any product, it's not just having the ingredients, it's how you grow it, what your lighting environmental, you know, someone can have the AJ cut and be growing it in shitty conditions or be growing it with the different nutrients, you know, so having the recipe is important.
Yeah, totally. And with bourbon, for example, that's like a specific region or like right. Kentucky can only produce bourbon, right? So it's like, and actually I kind of wish you saw that more with cannabis because I really think that climate affects those strains. Like, you know, I had weed in Thailand that it was outdoor weed. It wasn't like masterfully grown or anything, but it fit with the weather and the climate and the feeling. It just like it came from that ground and, you know, went in me and I felt like part of that place. And I think that, you know, gets back to that same like locally grown thing, but I think it really does change the high.
To your point, those are really well sought after varieties, what we refer to as land race strains. Here, I'm passing you this dab. It should be.
Ah, thanks. So, what am I dabbing here, Vince?
You're dabbing Doc's OG. So, give it a second. Yeah, and you want to just lift that cap, lift and drop, like kind of like a carb. Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, up to you. Yeah, you're pretty good.
All right. Whoa, dabs from Pinsky are always fucking dynamite. Mm-hmm. I don't know where you get your concentrate, and I don't want to know. All I know is that it has this, like, incredible menthol-y flavor to it because the concentrates he gets, the the terpenes.
I have a couple of different extracts. So when you extract the plant, this is a whole plant extract. It contains the cannabinoids, the terpenes, the the flavonoids, you know, some plant fats and waxes, right? But like this guy here, this is just pure cannabis terpenes. So these days, we're able to take the oil and further refine it.
Let's get this kid more stoned. He already looks a little bit stoned. Yeah. So yeah, that's a familiar look, man. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, dude.
That's a big one. You're done. Exhale quickly. Yeah, that's good.
There it is. Good shit.
New York's medical program just launched, actually, in January of this year. And
he's a patient.
Yeah, I'm a patient in the New York medical program, one of only a few thousand. I helped to pass the bill, actually, in 2014. And about a month and a half ago, I was featured on Daily Vice trying to get the legislation expanded to allow severe chronic pain as a qualifying condition here in New York.
Then Pinsky showed us how we can constantly smell weed with every breath.
So check this one out. This is one of the coolest things I have right now. That is the same Maui Wowie that I showed you before, but that's just the terpenes. You can see the color of it. It's like clear.
What does that smell like, Will?
It's super fragrant.
Oh, man. It's intense.
It's like menthol-y.
Yeah. Heavy scent, heavy odor. Yeah. And I'll be where it is like cologne.
Okay, so thank you very much. So I'm in the process of developing cannabis fragrance company right now. You know, if you ever get that piece of weed that's like smells so great and you're like, oh, I wish I could just glue that under my nose and just smell it all day long. Well, you could take these terps and you can actually put them right in your, you see how I am like putting them right under my.
Yeah, you just put a little bit right there and it smells nice.
Oh, you could just smell it.
Then you could just smell it. It's kind of like aromatherapy.
That about does it for this episode of Tea Time. Thanks so much for listening. Tune in to watch Vice Does America Wednesdays at 10 on Viceland. See you next time.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.